Good day, and thank you for tuning in to this new episode of the Microdose Diet. So my guest today, a very impressive guest, is Dylan Gomie. So Dylan is a well-rounded individual to say the least. So as a start, she's a graduate from Yale and Harvard Business School. She has a background in trading, media, and wellness instruction. She made a very impressive career transition from finance to fitness, and she's now an instructor at Barry's Bootcamp. She is also the founder of Diligence, her own advisory firm, and has developed her own methodology, the 60-second workout for her clientele of busy professionals. And as if it was not enough, she also participated in American Ninja Warrior. So I'm not sure what is the most impressive about you, Dylan, if it's your education, if it's your transition from finance to fitness, or if it's your successful foray into entrepreneurship. But I'm sure everyone is really excited to hear the details. So thank you for being here. That's
Peggy, can I take you everywhere I
I'm happy to do the introduction, but you made my life very easy in having such a background. So it's going to be. And so my name is Peggy van de Plage. I'm a former finance as well, actually banker, venture capitalist, and I now speak and write about the benefits of alternative medicines such as microdosing psilocybin for personal and professional growth. And I wrote a book, The Microdose Diet, that's going to be out in May. You can follow me on all social media platforms. And here we go. So, Dylan, let's get going because we have a lot to cover. So, I spoke a little bit about, Diligence, the 60-second workout in the intro. Can you tell us more about it? Can you tell us how you came to that in your journey?
Absolutely. So I'd start with how I arrived at building Diligence. So Diligence is a company that focuses on helping organizations and the individuals within them achieve high performance through the power of well-being. But the way that my company came to fruition was very much so born out of my own personal experience that you know very well of sprinting through 90-hour weeks on a trading floor. And it's not just about being good enough, it's how can you be excellent, and that means that you're always on and showing up and getting work done. And for me, the really big transformative piece was when I started to embed well-being and movement into my own life. And it happened on accident. There was somebody that I always say quite truthfully, they forced me to go to a fitness class because I did not want to go. Both because I felt like I had too much work to do, but it was a cycling class, and I actually originally hail from the Midwest, by way of Nigeria. And in the Midwest, when you ride a bike, the bike moves and you're outside.
Oh,
So the
yes.
concept of going to this indoor cycling class in the darkness seemed just not like the typical
Concept.
thing that one should do at 5:30 p.m. midweek. But lo and behold, I went, and it quite literally unlocked this flywheel in my life where every time I worked out, I felt like a different person. I felt happier. I felt more productive. And when I had to go back to work, it translated to what I had to do. And you'll appreciate this. It unlocked a lot of other things on the nutrition side for me too, where it's like, well, when I start to eat a certain way, I also feel like I have a lot more energy. And how do these two things come together? I'm getting my work done more effectively and efficiently, and I'm getting my time back. And for an organization, what does that mean for your employee? That means you're getting more revenue and more impact out of them. So it's kind of achieving having your cake and eating it too. Person feels great. Organization gets the benefit of that. This is what hard work and health do when they work well in concert.
Makes a lot of
And
sense.
you would think, and as a society, we're constantly trying to figure out how to bring these two things together, and that's the joy of what I get to do with Diligence. I initially started with realizing I wanted to give this to other people. So I kept my full-time job on Wall Street, but I started teaching something like 7 to 10 classes a week on top of my full-time job.
Wow, that's very impressive. So you were not, like when I was looking at your profile, I was like, oh, that's probably someone who was doing fitness at a high level since she was a kid. Doesn't seem to be the case. You came to fitness in your adult life. Am I correct?
My relationship with fitness changed. So I grew up playing sports. I was a figure skater, which people don't typically associate with Nigerians, but it was what I did. and I was much, much, much shorter when I did it, and I got my growth spurt much later in life. But when I did fitness, it was always in service of my sport, like
Yes,
working
it was
hard, training hard,
yes.
so I can jump higher, so I can skate faster, so I can nail those moves. Fitness in my corporate career was the first time that it was
I
for
hear
me to feel good, for me to go hard at my life, for me to not just enjoy work, but life outside of it. Like, I think I'm generally a joyful person, but I genuinely mean it. Like, that was a whole new level of happiness unlocked when I knew what it felt like not to be holding tension in my body.
Yeah, but even going from fitness enthusiast to fitness instructor at Barry's Bootcamp, which is not known to be a relaxing, fitness shop, that's quite the journey,
It is, but when I think about people that take, whether it's Barry's or Flywheel, where I also taught, a lot of the people going into those rooms are people like you. They are me. They are people that take fitness because when they go back out into the rest of the world, it's giving them something. And for me, it was my initial gateway to giving it to them too. I was like, I want everyone to feel like this. I can't keep just saying it. I didn't even just want to take people to classes. I'm like, I want to be part of it. And the reason why I went to business school wasn't just because I was like, I want the next shiny thing. I literally did not know what was the business of health and fitness. What is the business of wellness? Like, what is the system that makes it so people that go into high performance environments like finance, like tech, like medicine, like the legal industry, get the support they need to go even harder? And no one could tell me. So that's why I went back to school. And when I graduated, I got to do the full 360 of being a corporate executive myself, particularly in corporate fitness, because I also wanted to understand the business side. But I never stopped teaching because the people in those rooms, the people I coached, they're my why. They were why I'm doing what I was doing. And I brought the two things together under diligence because I truly did understand this key unlock. A lot of big organizations have corporate wellness programs.
They do,
They
but
do.
it's not necessarily very involved usually. It's
No.
more from what I've seen in Canada when I was working in large organization, we had a bit of a expense account to do, like, okay, maybe they're gonna sponsor half my gym membership and some massage. But it was to me, to there was no, a lot of people were extremely unhealthy actually, and there was no promotion of
Yes.
corporate wellness. It was more, okay,
Yes.
great, we get, and I was very happy to still be able to benefit from that. But my point is that it was not very well thought through. So you're bringing that to your clients, if I understand well. You bring the next level of what corporate wellness means.
And you said something really, really important and quite beautifully, where it's like it was there. And it's there because people do care about their health. They do care about their wellness. They do value themselves. But the rub is, when do I have time to use this in the workday?
That's the thing. People go at 5 in the morning, which is great. But if you're a caregiver, I'm not, but if you're a caregiver at 5 in the morning, you might want to sleep a little bit.
It's that. Or maybe I plan to do it at some time, but you know what? Now somebody's scheduled over my calendar. And
Exactly.
sure, it exists, but now there's a trade-off.
Yes,
And
exactly.
I think it's a Gallup study, but something like only 20% of people use the resources that are right in front of them. So what I focus on at the organizational level is actually both auditing what are you using, are your people using it, and then here's what people will use. A lot of workshops at the team level, particularly with anybody that cares about revenue. Yes, it's about culture and having a culture of well-being. But if somebody leaves your company because of burnout, you're going to spend way more money replacing them, both if it's an executive through search and internal resources and loss of institutional knowledge, than keeping somebody in their seat by giving them the resources that they need to continue what they're doing at the level that they're doing them. That is cheaper. So it's both, again, the individual, but for the organization, there is a real value in investing in giving them the tools to understand when do these things fit in the day and what works best for them. So with teams, I will literally do workshops around like, here's how you audit yourself and understand what do you need to do for your physical well-being, mental well-being, emotional well-being, to show up at your best? And this is what productivity looks like.
So what is the 60-second workout? I was really excited about hearing you about that.
Yeah, you can tell I also get excited about it. So I always had this corporate hat. Obviously, I was a trainer myself, but I worked really, really hard to also have a foundation in behavior change and understand, like, well,
that's what I was wondering, if it was okay, get you going, you know, okay, that's cool.
Yeah. And just like, what is the biggest pain point? And it's always time, whether it's consistency, whether it's somebody feeling selfish that they take time for self-care, it's around time and the loss of it and the lack of control. But the beauty of the human body, and I really, really love how cool our bodies are, is it can be effective for you in any amount of time if you choose to focus, even just a minute. Mm-hmm. So the 60-second workout is literally just a squat, core focused move where you just hold a squat with your arms overhead and drop down and hold it. And I guarantee you, in at least just like the first 20 to 30 seconds, you're gonna feel the impact of your own body. That's the first 30 seconds. But I use the second 30 seconds for simple acknowledgement of you just took that time back. Mm-hmm. Even that minute, incremental, seemingly like small piece of time was a reclamation of your autonomy, your ability, and saying, I can even take a minute of this to do something for myself. And that's transformative in somebody's day. And that's how you start finding more time to boost your energy just off that.
Well, and I love what you're saying with reclaiming, because it's really about your personal power as well.
Yes.
You know, and something that might seem as small as 60 seconds can really put you in a different mindset.
Yes.
Of course, to your point, you know, you're moving your body, which is good, because most of us who have very sedentary job have even lost the connection to the body. Everything is happening up neck, you know? So you can see why it's checking so many boxes, you know? So what do you see? Do you see people at the office between meetings taking their 60 seconds, or maybe we do that in the washroom or in the quiet room, you know, just to be hidden from other people? What do you see?
Well, what I also love about it is I offer this way as like the initial gateway. But again, the best part about the human body is in any amount of time or in any minute, you can make something effective. Simply standing up and taking a stretch and releasing your low back and taking a deep breath, that takes 20 seconds, maybe if that. And that was also a reclamation of your time. Like whatever your own 60-second workout is over time, I fully support it. But it's just that first little unlock of like, oh, I really do feel this.
Yeah, I love that.
And that's the mindset shift. And a lot of times I find people saying like, oh, if only I had more time to do this. I wish I had time to do this. And like, that's not your question.
Yes.
That's not the statement. It's I've got 1 minute and now I will use it for this.
That's great. So it's really about the presence as well. You know, like I'm all about people getting off the autopilot. Well, for me, it's more about like alternative therapy, but it's the same mindset in the sense, which is get off your autopilot, you know, reclaim your power, decondition from this idea that I have no time, because who can you say you don't have 60 seconds?
100%. It's like we can all find 60 seconds. And if you choose to use it, it is powerful in whatever way you choose to do it.
I just love it. So I'm very curious. So your participants, I'm sure you have had people who have started doing it and maybe they've done it for a few months. Do you have success stories, or what do you see? Do you see this aha moment in people, you know, like when they really understand, okay, it's not the 60 seconds, it's everything that it means, you know?
When there's just so many like pride and joys that come to mind as you say that, whether it's like, obviously within the workplace, it's people telling me, I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm thinking through so many things. I'm just going to stand up right now. I need to take a walk. Like I need to think through this. So the connection between I need to think through this and movement is like, that is success to me. I think about this incredible person I work with in academia, that used to use a lot of I can't language, and I was like, I can't do this, even with their core. This woman holds a 7-minute plank.
Oh.
Postpartum. And it's like things like the pure shift that I find both in the workplace and then how it transfers beyond. These are my favorite stories that I'm incredibly proud of. And whether it's like, again, workplace or even the fitness context, the reason why there's a spark in my logo is because it's meant to be a transfer of energy. Like I have obviously my passion and things I want to achieve in the world for people, but I'm not in anybody else's body. I'm not in anybody else's head. I'm not in their hands. It's their decision to take the information and actually believe it about themselves. And, you know, in a fitness class, when I see somebody decide to press a 0.1 on their speed because they themselves believe they can go faster, or the person that's like, no, I got this. Yesterday is difficult and I can do it. Like, that is success to me. That's the transfer of the spark.
I love that. The empowerment, you know, I do think, and it's a bit back to the conversation we had before this interview, we tend to live in this victim mentality because we all lost touch, I think, with our personal power. And we lose a lot of agency over our life, you know, especially when you work in corporate, there is no agency, you know?
Yes.
So I really, really like that idea of bringing people back to I can versus I can't. And something as I just find your philosophy much more, I would say, interesting, but interesting is not enough. I just find it groundbreaking. I really, really love that. So I know that I mentioned in the intro your very impressive background. So did you have to also own your own power? Did you have to shed layers of conditioning, limiting belief or limitations in order, because I mean, it's difficult to leave finance because it is prestigious, it pays well. And now you're saying, well, I'm going to go in the world of wellness, and people are like, okay, why did you do that? You know, so I'm sure you met your fair share of internal and external resistance in your transition.
Oh man, I mean, they range from like fun to like funny, even in retrospect. The fun ones are like, again, I'm a Nigerian, and the stereotype around Nigerians is you're a doctor, lawyer, or an engineer, and I am none of these things. But I did have a lot of conviction around like, life is too short not to do the things that you believe in. And I think everybody has these moments where they're confronted with the fact that mortality is reality. And for me, it's like, there's the things that one should do or just could do. And it's like, what joy and reward and being of service were very, very clear. Like, I saw that vision and it's like, I'm sure there's a way. And then there's even like, you know, like the moments where early on in my career, I remember somebody like called me a triple whammy, referring to the fact that like I didn't come from a traditional background when I was going into Wall Street and I was a Black woman. And it's like, you know, there's this acceptance, like there will be tough and difficult moments. Like, I am fully aware that an entrepreneurial path, let alone any path, insert Wall Street, insert anything, it won't be easy. But it's like, but I can. Like, I can figure out a path.
That's interesting. So listening to you, it feels to me, and you were mentioning you were a figure skater, which I mean, you fall on your ass more time than in any other sport.
So you sure do.
You need to be extremely persistent, you know? So it seems to me you are...
Oh, I should tell you something.
Go ahead.
So diligence, it is a play off my name, Dylan.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It is. But the word diligence actually means steady, energetic, and persistent effort.
Oh, so it's a both. Okay.
Yeah. And it's everything that you need to be in the workforce, be an athlete, build a healthy routine for yourself. So I intentionally picked it, like it fit quite well. Thank you, universe. But I myself have had to be diligent, and it's the same spark that I'm trying to give other people, where it's like, it's all a practice. It's always going to be a practice. Every day is going to be different. Every day is going to bring a new challenge. And keep going.
You seem to have been empowered And visibly, sport has been one of the tools, even when you were a kid, to really build that personal power. Because you seem to be, well, I can, I can, I can. And very often, what I hear, and I'm the first one to say that, I'm projecting my own, I had the tendency to more say, I can't, I can't, I can't. I do it, but it asks me to do a lot of soul searching and a lot of push and pull. So, did you see any areas where it was a bit more challenging for you to actually go in your direction? And was it linked to, I don't know, family belief, culture belief, woman's belief, or whatever type of or societal?
Totally. And it's like there, I think there's I'm glad that you say that. There's always like the voices of doubt that exist. And I definitely give a lot of credit to my parents also kind of being like the despite the stereotype saying like go for it category. But I also very much so believe the word solopreneur is like just such a misnomer because there's also no way that I could have like just kept pushing
That's right.
without also the people around me being like, yep, go. I don't sprint alone. Like they say, like, oh, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go in a pack. No, it's both of those things. Fast and far involves somebody else and
That's
other people and other voices like right behind you.
right. I see that, and I realize we're already out of time. I should have booked like a 2-hour interview. I got very excited about the workout. So I spent a lot of time with that because I really find it's a groundbreaking idea, interrupting, like patterns that are very ingrained with something that seems as simple as that, but it's simple, but it's not easy. And it's very impactful. I just find it wonderful, actually.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on today. I was like, I could talk to you forever. Like actually talk to you forever.
Yeah, thank you so much. And do you have any parting thoughts? Is there anything that, I don't know, any advice, things that you want the people who are listening, viewing, or who's going to read the newsletter that you want to impart with your wisdom?
100%. Always the reminder that self-care is never selfish, and you're the best to everyone else when you're the best to yourself first and foremost. And obviously, Diligence is here very much so to support individuals and the organizations that they exist in. So whether it's a workshop, strategy work, or coaching, we are here.
So, do you have a certain size of companies or a certain type of industry that is really, I would say, your sweet spot?
Yeah, typically we work with larger organizations, but of course, open to potential other ideas. So within academia, tech, and the finance space, but
Finance, of course. Yeah, I was thinking finance, tech,
yeah.
obviously, but academia makes a lot of sense as well. Well, Dylan, thank you so much for your time. I really thought it was a wonderful conversation. Taught me so much because I have to say I was very curious and excited. So I have to say that interview is as much for me as for the people who are listening. But
I had so much fun with you today.
thank you very much for taking the time. I will put the information and the contacts so everyone who's listening or viewing today, you can look in the comments. You will have the link to Diligence. You will have all the information so you can contact Dylan to work with her and make sure all your employees are top shape. So thank you so much, Dylan.
Thank you so much, Peggy, for having me on.
Have a wonderful day. Thank you.
You too.